Well, if you've got your Bible with you tonight, we'd like to turn, please, to 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, and we're just going to read a few verses initially. And just entitled these few thoughts tonight, What to Do in a Day of Trouble. What to do in a day of trouble. Now, let me say from the start, this is not an exhaustive list, but it's just a few thoughts that the Lord has put upon my heart. And so we would like just to share them with you. The Lord has blessed us with this. It really started out, there was a little assembly. Shannon talked about the Mystery River. There's actually, if you didn't know this, I don't know. In Belfast, there is a river that runs along High Street from McDonald's way up there. But it starts away up in the hills of Belfast, and it runs right down past McDonald's. You can't see it. And it runs right past the Albert Clock, and then it runs out, you know, the big fish? And that's called the Farset River, and that's what Belfast was built around way back in the day. Now, I don't remember when Belfast started. Austin could maybe fill you in the details, but we're just using that as a springboard to move on to Hezekiah with the children and talk about how God used his life and the importance of trusting the Lord and in prayer. So that's what that lesson's about. But so when we were looking at this lesson, there were some things that the Lord brought to our attention, even for us ourselves. And so, 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and we'll just read verse 1 and verse 2. After these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib king of Assyria came, and entered into Judah, and encamped against the fenced cities, and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem. Now we're just going to leave it there, because I just want you really to set the scene here first of all. We'll come back to this just in a wee second, because I want to give you a little bit of the backstory even to this. So we're thinking about Hezekiah tonight, and perhaps you've heard of him. Most of you will have heard of him. But like myself, you perhaps find it hard to remember much about him and about his life. Some people would say, well, how do you know? I'm not talking about in here tonight, but I'm talking about out in Belfast, for example, or across the country. Some people will say, how do you know Hezekiah even existed? Well, firstly, his partial life story is recorded in the Bible. And we believe the Bible is the awesome, inspired truth of the living God. Isn't that right? What do God's people say? Amen. We believe this is God's word, and if it's in God's word, then we believe it. Secondly, archaeology reveals his existence. Not going into all the details, but we mentioned there about Hezekiah, the secret river. Remember the river that was rediverted up into Jerusalem at the time of siege. And lots of people said over the years, that river's not there, it doesn't exist. There was no such thing. That was the skeptic said. Then the archaeologists began to take it at one stage in more recent history, and they discovered there is a river that runs down in below. And you can go, if you go to Israel, you'll see it today. And what an achievement it was. They came from both sides. Under the rule of Hezekiah, he ordered it to be done, and they dug both sides and it joined up, and the river flows to the eventual pool of Siloam. But that's just a little bit about Hezekiah. Let's think about Hezekiah for a few seconds. Here you see in verse 1 and 2 the actions of Hezekiah. What does he do in a day of trouble? A time of global change. The Assyrian Empire was overrunning that part of the world. They'd become an empire. There were national threats. There was personal problems. And all of these things in our world today can teach us so much, and we can learn so much from this passage of God's word from Hezekiah. Never forget that God's word is so relevant. Someone once said it's more up to date than tomorrow's newspapers. Unfortunately, tomorrow's newspapers are getting less and less. And if you read the newspaper, you're probably one of the very minority, because now everything's moving digital. And so we could say the Bible is more up to date than online BBC news. more up to date than Sky or Google News or any of these things. And so tonight we're going to learn and hopefully be encouraged here by God's word that's so relevant and so up to date for our circumstances here tonight. So let's just bow in a wee word of prayer. Father, we just pray. Lord, speak to us, we pray. Lord, realize that, Lord, unless, Lord, the Spirit of God moves, Lord, we will gain little tonight, Lord. Nothing will be achieved. And so, Father, we just pray that you'll bless us around your word. Speak to us individually. Here we are. Speak to me. Speak to each one of us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, it was a difficult time for Hezekiah. The forces of the Assyrian Empire had come against Jerusalem. They had conquered all around them. And here they were mocking the king Sennacherib. Or King Sennacherib was the king of Assyria. And he was mocking the Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem. There was a siege about to happen. And Sennacherib, the enemy of God's people, he tried all sorts of tactics to discourage the people of God. He ultimately wanted to destroy them. But let us look at a few of the tactics that he used tonight. We're only going to look at a few. And I see tonight parallels between where we are in our lives and where Hezekiah was in the particular problems that he faced. And so the first one was, don't listen to the king. That's what the enemy outside the walls were saying. Don't listen to the king. By their words, that's really what they were saying. So this tactic, we all know, it's as old as creation itself. This tactic from hell was used by Satan himself, isn't that right? When he said to Adam and Eve, has God really said? Hath God really said? Satan still questions the authority of God and seeks to turn people from the Lord. And we see it in Belfast, isn't that right? The governments, for example, our own government in the UK and the government also in Ireland, continually change laws to undermine the authority of God's word. We think about lots of recent changes that have happened in the laws. We think of same-sex marriage. We think of abortion, euthanasia that's on the horizon. We think of transgenderism. We think of the removal by different stages of Bible teaching from schools and colleges and universities. We see all of these things and they all proclaim the same message. Don't listen to the king. In other words, don't listen to God. Don't listen to the Lord. Just do your own thing. And what a mess it's becoming. But let's put this on a personal level. And this is speaking to me. I trust it speaks to you as well. Have we been listening to the loving voice of our Saviour and King? Have we been spending time alone with him in his word? Let us determine, even when we go from here tonight, maybe to take some time and open God's word and say, Lord, speak to me. You're my king, my saviour. Help me to spend more time with you. Help me to spend time in your word and in your presence and hear for your voice through your word speaking to me personally. Sometimes we need to leave the old phone and silent, stick it in the charger, throw it in the drawer, maybe throw it in the bin, but then you have to get it back out because we do need it. But there's so much stuff that can distract us, isn't that right, through the technology that's out there today. Well, the enemy was saying, basically, don't listen to the king. But for ourselves, we need to be listening to the king. He is the King of Kings. He is our Saviour, our God, and our Lord. And we need to hear from him daily. The second one, a little thought that came to me there, was that blackmail that the enemy was using. You can find more in this story in 2 Kings. If you turn with me quickly to 2 Kings, and you can see there the verse 18, or sorry, 2 Kings 18, verse 31. 2 Kings verse 18, verse 31. Here's what the enemy was saying. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the Lord of Assyria, make an agreement. Now, we'll just leave it there. Now, we could think about our own country. We could go down a whole lot of things here when we think about agreements. But let's focus here on the word. And here, the enemy is saying, let's make an agreement. The enemy wants to make an agreement. the enemy, thinking about our enemy, we're thinking about Satan himself, and how he wants to make it. He'll try and tell us, let's make an agreement together. But you know, remember this, we need reminded of this continually, isn't that right? Because we're tempted in so many ways by Satan himself, on a personal level. We're tempted to give in to temptation. But remember this, the enemy has not your good at heart. He does not want to do anything that's going to be for your good. In fact, John 10:10 tells us the enemy wants to destroy us, isn't that right? He wants to destroy us. And how easy then for us it is to give in those little things and compromise in those little things. In fact, Peter in the New Testament, he reminds us in Peter 5:8, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. He wants to ultimately destroy us. And so we think about the attacks, the different tactics that the enemy uses. Well, think about that little verse in Peter, and to be vigilant. And we think about that word, how the enemy wants to devour us. One commentator explains, our enemy, the devil, desires to devour us, to cause real and lasting harm. And if you look up the original Greek, in that the word for devour literally means to swallow us, to swallow or to drown. And so we're reminded we're in a spiritual battle. And so Peter has made it clear that our place in eternity with our Father is secure, but how the devil wants to destroy our testimonies. And so we need to be vigilant. The people needed to be vigilant. C.T. Studd, who's heard of C.T. Studd? That great missionary, he's inspirational. His life, read his life biography, it truly, truly inspires us to think about what this man done for the Lord. C.T. Studd trusted Christ, as you know, as a young man, but was drawn away by the enemy tactic or lust for fame and popularity in the sporting world. He was a famous cricketer, and after suddenly being called to the bedside of a seriously ill brother, I think his name was George, he returned to the Lord. Shortly after this, I want to leave this wee quote with you, if you'll have heard of it, but this was a context in which it was made. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. It's only what's done for the Lord will last. And you know, from that day on, Charles Studd, he went all out for God. He went forward. Wherever God would call him, he would go. And we know the work that he'd done, how the Lord used him mightily. But the devil was trying to put him down at that young age. Just as a young Christian, he got drawn back into the whole cricket world and all of those things. And it was only the very serious illness of his brother that the Lord used to speak and to draw him back to himself. And actually, his brother, they thought he was about to die. And George was at his bed, or C.T. Studd was at his bedside, and he actually recovered. But God used that incident to challenge C.T. Studd. Well, let's think about this. What was Hezekiah's response to the enemy? See, he had a trusted friend in Isaiah, a trusted godly friend, and he would tell all that was going on. I wonder, do you have a trusted godly friend who's a good listener? They're like hen's teeth. If you ever, anybody know where hen's teeth are? See if you know. Please let me know, because I haven't a clue either. But at least we've got Shannon from the country. She might fill us in shortly. But it's important to have a good trusted friend, isn't that right? To find one. And so we think of Isaiah. What a friend he was. A godly man. A prophet. And someone once said, a problem shared is a problem halved. You know, the response from Isaiah was, what was the word of God? That's what he needed to know. And Isaiah said, in 2 Kings 19 and verse 6, he said, thus saith the Lord. Not, this is what I think you should do. No, thus saith the Lord. Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard. Be not afraid. I wonder, is there someone here maybe, and you've heard words recently that have made you afraid. Really afraid. I don't know what it could be. Maybe like many in Jerusalem at that time, perhaps they were almost paralyzed with fear. Maybe that's where you find yourself. Fear unchecked can bring despair into our lives, and ultimate even defeat in our lives. There's a man called, you've many have heard of him, Martin Lloyd-Jones, and he was a famous preacher in England. He said this about fear: when a man is defeated by life, it is always due ultimately to the fact that he is suffering from a spirit of fear. But here's the thing, we need not be afraid. We need not be defeated by the spirit of fear in our day, in your day of trouble, because God's children can claim the mighty promises of God. How many promises can you think of that God has given you? The enemy wouldn't want you to think about them. He wants you to focus on the problem and the issue that's paralyzing you. And the more you focus on it, and the more sometimes you look at it, and sometimes even as you look at the news, the more afraid you can become. But the enemy wants to destroy you. He wants to defeat you in your life. But you know, God has given us wonderful promises. There's a wonderful promise in 1 John 4 and verse 18. You all know it. But it's a reminder that that perfect love of Christ, it casteth out all, what? Fear. Casteth out all fear. In fact, there was a girl called Mary Slessor, the girl with the red hair and the blue eyes from Dundee, the daughter of an alcoholic father. She seemed an unlikely character for a missionary. But God saved her. And God called her to Nigeria, as it's called today. But there, when she got there, to her horror, she first heard about the ritual killing of little twins. In some of the tribes, when twins were born, they saw it as the twins, it was a sign of an evil spirit. Two children born instead of one. And so what they would do, they would be left out in the bush to die, or they might even be killed. And she was horrified when she saw this. And it's, in her own words, she said this. She said, "It filled me with fear. It filled me with depression." She had stepped out. Her mission had said, "Don't go into those areas. That's too dangerous for a woman to go to." But I think she had a bit of the Scottish blood in her. And a bit of, I think we, it was maybe some of us, and she was maybe a bit thrawn. Is that how we would call it? We're a bit thrawn. and she went on anyhow, but God used her. But now she was filled with fear, even depression. And when she went to her knees in prayer, you see, this is the key we're talking about tonight. Prayer changes things. She got to her knees in prayer, and she prayed. Here's what she prayed. Wait till you hear. "Lord, the task is impossible for me, but not for thee. Lead the way, and I will follow." And then she got up from her knees in prayer, and she said this: "Why should I fear? Why should I fear? I am on a royal mission. I am in the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." And you know the rest of the story. Mary went on to courageously rescue many newborn babies amongst the tribes. And in the process, she gained the respect of the tribes people themselves. She had opportunity then to witness to mothers, and precious souls for Christ were won. She had to overcome that fear. It was paralyzing her, but Jesus, he breaks the chains of fear. Isn't that right? Come to him in prayer, dear friend. "Lord, the task is impossible for me, but not for thee. Lead the way, and I will follow. Trust the King." And so the Bible, Isaiah, this prophet, this godly friend of Hezekiah, in another part of Isaiah's prophecy, here he says the words of the Lord to you and I tonight. Isaiah 41 and 10. What a blessing. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, and I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Boy, what a promise. That's another promise of the Lord. And so in our day of trouble, we can find the promises of God that strengthen us, that keep us going, just like Mary did. Did you know this? I didn't know this, but I've just recently read about it. Some of the early American Indians had a unique way of training their young warriors, some particular areas and some particular tribes. And as part of their training, on a young man's 13th birthday, he was blindfolded. He was brought into the heart of the forest, maybe several miles or so from where he lived. And he had to spend the night alone. That was his challenge. This was them tightening them up to be warriors. You had to overcome fear, you see. And so they would bring them out. In the middle of the darkness, in the depth of that forest, in the middle of the night, they would take the blindfold off, and the young man was left there. Every noise, can you picture? Every noise he heard, every twig that snapped. I would have been panicked. I would have probably ran that fast. I remember when I was young, I ran that fast one night, and the faster I ran up the road, I thought that the trees were running after me, and my heart was thumping that hard. I thought it was somebody running behind me, and I was running faster. But picture the scene. Here's this young man, every noise filling him with fear. And he wondered, the snap of the twig, what animal is it? Think about the animals that are about in those days. Their land just destroy you and swallow you and ready to attack. And it maybe all night seemed like an eternity, and maybe in your day of trouble it seems like an eternity. It's never ending. But the dawn eventually would break, and it'll break for you too. And the rays of light would begin to penetrate the forest through the darkness. But suddenly, he was paralyzed with fear, this young man, again. Why? Because over here, he saw a man with a bow and an arrow, and he was stretching it right out. Do you know who it was? Will I tell you? Do you want to know? It was his father. His father was there all along. His father was there guarding him. In the darkness of the night, he stood motionless. The young man didn't know he was there. He was filled with fear. But his father was there. The warrior was there. And he was looking after him the whole time. And we can be assured from God's word that in our darkest night, that God is there. He is not only a warrior, he is more. He is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's in control of this whole world. And in all of the chaos all around, he stands in control, undefeated. Someone was called Champion of Champions, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. As Mary concluded, Mary Slessor, what have we really to fear? What have we to fear? Do you know, there came a day when Hezekiah looked over the wall. Isaiah had prayed earnestly. They had been praying that God would help. He had told the people, have courage. And he got up. He perhaps looked out the walls of Jerusalem. Maybe just looked out over that morning as the sun began to rise. And what did he see? He saw 185,000 Assyrian corpses, soldiers dead. The angel of the Lord had come, answered a prayer, and God had brought a great victory, and the victory was won. And so we think about that victory. Our minds and our eyes go to the cross of Calvary, and they go to the great victory that Christ has wrought on the cross. Christ defeated the hosts of hell. Victory over sin, over death, and over hell was won at the cross. We serve a risen Saviour, and he intercedes on our behalf. What do God's people say? Did we just say, well, that was very good? We say, amen, and we say, hallelujah. What do we say? Amen, hallelujah. This is encouragement from God's word tonight. Hezekiah's life is for the most part a model of faithfulness and trust in the Lord. Hezekiah's trust in the Lord was rewarded with answered prayer. And in his day of trouble, God gave him a miraculous victory. And he can do the same for you in your circumstances if it's God's will. When we're faced then with an impossible situation, surrounded by the enemy on every side, that's maybe how you feel tonight. And we think about the Assyrian army had surrounded Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem. Hezekiah did the right thing. He prayed, and God answered. And we can say tonight, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Praise the Lord. And what do God's people say? Praise the Lord.